You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's Wednesday, and that means it's time to talk our state's history. And today, we're taking you way back, summer 1679, and it was on this Friday, 339 years ago, the French ship the Griffon appeared on the Detroit River. It was the first large-scale European-style sailing ship to reach the shores of what would eventually evolve into the state of Michigan. But little did its crew suspect that this ship would soon become the holy grail of Great Lakes shipwrecks. Here now to explain further is the director of the Michigan History Center, Sandra Clark. Sandra, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's always great to talk history with you. And from West Michigan, pleasure to welcome back to the program author and Great Lakes shipwreck hunter Valerie Van Heest. Hey, Valerie, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
So we're going to let everybody know right now, starting from square one, that the ship is Le Griffon, if you're French. But we are from Michigan, and just so we don't have to be pretentious and pretend we really do an authentic French pronunciation, we're calling her the Griffon. Is everybody good with that?
Yep. That works.
You bet.
All right. Sandra, I want to start off with just who built the Griffon and where, because I'm pretty sure she did not sail up the Niagara Falls to get to the Detroit River.
She certainly did not. René Robert Cavalier de La Salle is the Frenchman who, I won't say he built the Griffon technically, but he's the man who had the Griffon built just this side of Niagara Falls, because obviously there was no well and canal back then, so you couldn't get from Lake Ontario to Lake Erie. So this is his way of opening up the western part of the Great Lakes to exploration and to what he was really interested in, which was making some money.
And remind us what his ultimate quest really was.
His legal ultimate quest is to find the Mississippi, maybe a route to China, although by then Marquette and Joliet had pretty well found that the Mississippi did not go west but went south. But he's out looking to expand the French Empire, explore new territory, new contact with the Native Americans. And along the way, there are these things called furs that he's hoping to make some money off of.
So finding that Northwest Passage to maybe get to China and Japan is one thing, but meantime, there's a lot of money to be made with those furs.
Yes.
Okay. So, Sandra, here we have on this Friday, 339 years ago, LaSalle makes his way through the Detroit River and then what, keeps going north?
He goes north to the Straits of Mackinac. We know he makes it there. He stops there. Then he goes on over to Green Bay with the Griffon. And there he does something he wasn't supposed to do. He trades with the Odawa Indians for some beaver furs. He was only authorized actually to trade for bison, I believe. But so he gets a load of furs. He has supplies. He puts them on the Griffon and tells his men that are on the Griffon to head back to Mackinac, and that's where they're going to store these things over the winter.
Okay, so Valerie Van Heest, take it from there.
Yeah.
What happened next?
The Griffon left what we would consider the islands off Door County today to head back through the Straits, and the ship was never seen again. And that made it the first shipwreck on the upper Great Lakes, and a mystery that has resounded for the last 300-plus years.
Goodness. And of course, there's no radio distress calls. You probably don't have a lot in the form of knowing what was happening weather-wise at the time.
Yeah, well, we do know from LaSalle's accounts that shortly thereafter, either between 24 and 48 hours after LaSalle, who took some canoes and some men heading south to try to begin his exploration of the Mississippi, we know that a storm came up, and we know that LaSalle was worried for his ship, and indeed he should be because, you know, it was never seen again. Word, of course, traveled slowly back then, and it took months and years for the stories to come out. And one story did come out that the natives that would be now in the upper peninsula of Michigan did in fact see the Griffin, communicate with the crew, warn them not to go out in what the natives knew was a brewing storm, and yet they didn't take that advice and they sailed out from northern Lake Michigan. And so some would believe that the Griffin sank somewhere in Lake Michigan in the northern part of the lake and has yet to be found.
And Sandra, as we were saying, this has become kind of the holy grail of Great Lakes shipwrecks?
It has. I think there's some romance to it. And of course, not too many years ago, another ship that LaSalle had built and was using, this one down off the coast of Texas, was actually found. That's the LaBelle. It ran aground, so it was buried in mud, but something that could be recovered and is now in the Texas State Museum. Mm. It's a fantastic exhibit, but I think that really reunited that, well, if that could be found, maybe the Griffin could be found too.
And Valerie, you're a Great Lakes shipwreck hunter. This is what you do. This is your passion. You've written about Great Lakes shipwrecks. Mm-hmm. Where do things stand as we speak right now in 2018?
Well, interestingly, in the Great Lakes, there is a whole contingent, truly a small group, but groups in every Great Lakes who make it their mission to search for Great Lakes shipwrecks. And there have been a number of people who have wanted badly to find the Griffin. It would be the most famous, you know, most renowned discovery if it could be made. And over a period of, probably 100 years now, there have been almost two dozen claims of discovery, some very outlandish, some we knew weren't correct from the beginning, others that were looked at with great interest. But ultimately, all but one of them have been discounted as being not the Griffin.
You say all but one. What? Which one?
All but one. There was wreckage found on the western shore of Manitoulin Island, first recorded by a European cartographer as laying there in the 1820s. And that took some further interest in the 1890s when skeletons were found near this wreck, six of them, and there were reportedly six crew on board the Griffin. And it took until the 1930s for an explorer to kind of connect the dots and say, well, we've got six skeletons and we've got a piece of a wreck, and that wreck has been there for a long time. Maybe that's the Griffin. And there were some tests done by a French archaeologist, and there is some indication that these remains could have been there as long as 1679, but it's never 100% been proven to either be the Griffin or not be the Griffin. Hmm. So that's a mystery that lingers.
And when you think of scenarios that could have led to the wreck of the Griffin, do you think there is wreckage to be found?
Well, you know, the oldest shipwreck in the Great Lakes that has been found is the Ontario. Ship called the Ontario sank in Lake Ontario in 1781. And that was found by a team of explorers in New York. And that ship is in very deep water. The masts are standing. The hull is intact. There's even glass in the stern gallery windows.
Wait, stop. And, it's been there that long and there's still glass in the windows.
Because of the depth and the condition of sinking. But when I learned about that from my friend Jim Kennard, who found that wreck, it kind of convinced me that ships were well crafted back then. You know, we hear the expression, they always made things better in the old days. Well, this ship survived now more than 250 years. Why couldn't the Griffin survive 350 years? It could still be out there.
Sandra, if it's found, if the Griffin is found, who gets it? Michigan, Canada, France, who gets it?
The French claim that it was a ship of state, meaning like a warship, and under international law, you never give up possession of that. So they would claim possession of it. We had talked to them at one point not too many years ago, and we would probably have an agreement that we would acknowledge it was theirs if it were found in Michigan waters. Michigan bottomlands in Michigan is the state that would be dealing with it, Wisconsin Bottomlands. Wisconsin is the state. Canada could be, depending on where it is. But the French would definitely claim ownership. What they did with the Lebel was a long-term agreement then with Texas so that the ship remained in the United States, but France's ownership was acknowledged.
So you give a hat tip to the French and keep it.
A nice, small international agreement, probably. But we're a long ways from anything like that happening at this point.
Well, fascinating, fascinating story. Sandra Clark, Michigan History Center, and shipwreck hunter and author Valerie Van Hees. Thank you so much for explaining the saga of the lost ship, the Griffin, the holy grail of Great Lakes shipwrecks, which first appeared off the shores of what would become Michigan on this week in 1679. Thank you so much.
It's been fun.
Thank you.